Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Right, everyone, welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. I'm Darren Karp, and as always, I'm here with my lovely wife, John Thrasher.
It's me, Vanna White, Darren's Pat Sajak.
That is right, and today, John, we kind of have a little bit of a different episode because, you know, normally we cover true crime, obviously, but, like, the reason I feel like Shaken and Disturbed kind of morphed into the way that it did because we don't have to necessarily just talk about murders. Like, there are a lot of crimes that happen that are equally as shaking and disturbing as some of the ones we cover, and today we kind of wanted to cover one of those crimes, if you will. We could call it a crime, I think, right?
Yeah, there's probably going to be some crimes happening in the next couple of months, I would say, regarding this. But yeah, to your point, you know, there was a lot of conversation around the Britney Spears conservatorship over the last 13 years, really. But
yeah, but I would say it really came into the forefront this past year plus in the pandemic, because I feel like we've seen headlines, at least growing up. I mean, it grew up being, you know, I liked Britney. I've never seen her in concert. But I like Britney. I always respected Britney. I've always thought Britney was actually a genius. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, like, I'm just going to say this. Like, when she was going through all that terrible stuff, shaving her head, just, you know, what everyone would be like, oh, Britney went crazy, using this in air quotes, because obviously there's a lot more sensitivity to that. I felt horrible for her.
Me too.
You know, I never am the type to really, like, make fun of someone. I definitely thought it was indicative of a larger issue. And Britney was really, like, the pop star, and still is the pop star, but, like, certainly the pop star of our day, of our formative years.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And yeah, I mean, we'll get into, like, even all those details, I think, a little bit today, because we're going to be recapping Britney versus Spears, which is the Netflix documentary about...
It just dropped.
Weeks
2 ago. 2 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. So it... there has been a... You know, there was a Hulu special earlier in the year in February, which I watched, which was great because I felt like that helped explain what a conservatorship is.
Yeah, which, by the way, what the fuck?
Well, I knew what a conservatorship was in terms of, like, you know what? Sometimes it happens for old people who can't handle their affairs, and not just old people, obviously all different types, but, like, it tends to affect a lot of older people that might not be in, you know, it's supposed to protect the people that are incapable of protecting themselves.
Sure. Absolutely.
And so we have kind of a lot to get to because this case, well, this Britney Spears thing, we really want to discuss. But are you drinking today as we go through Britney versus Spears?
Yes, I am. And in honor of Britney's album Blackout, which is widely regarded as her best album. And I am a huge, like you were saying, Darren, I'm a huge Britney fan. I have seen her in concert, actually. I'll get to that later in the episode because I do have actual thoughts about how it applies to our show today. But in honor of Blackout, I am having black coffee. I know. It's not anything specifically liquor, but there is some Baileys in it. Does that count as something? Blackout with Baileys? I don't know. But that's what I'm having because I can't find this apple pie stuff. I'm going to get to that again. We'll get to listener shout outs about that. But right now I'm finishing regular Baileys in my black coffee. It's weird.
Well, I mean, it's okay. In honor of Britney, sure. I'm going to drink something toxic.
Oh.
And it's good. It's called H2O. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Have
you ever heard of this drink?
Oh, my God. I have heard of it. It's very toxic. You shouldn't drink it.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, because I know that it's toxic. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Guys, summer is over. There's a chill in the air. Spooky season has arrived. So let's watch some scary movies. There's no better place for horror than Shudder, which has just kicked off its annual 61 Days of Halloween, which is a two-month supersized celebration full of new movies and series, like a new season of Creepshow, and VHS 94, a brand new installment in the acclaimed found footage anthology franchise. And that's just the start of Shudder's unbeatable Halloween lineup. There are new specials from our girl Elvira and Joe Bob Briggs, a new season of the Boulay Brothers' Dracula. Definitely watching that. Their new docuseries Behind the Monsters on the origins and pop culture dominance of your favorite modern movie monsters, and so much more. I have loved browsing around Shudder because they have such a unique library of content. There's tons of international stuff that you can't even really seem to find anywhere else. I don't even watch a ton of TV, but I love streaming Shudder's Halloween stuff in particular. From old classics to modern favorites, Shudder has what you want. So get started streaming the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content. Shudder's expertly curated collection includes must-see titles like Vicious Fun, The Mortuary Collection, which I definitely want to watch, and PG Psycho Gorman, plus all the best horror documentaries and the hit Creepshow TV series from executive producer Greg Nicotero of The Walking Dead. So, to try Shudder for free, for 30 days, go to shudder.com and use promo code SHAKEN. That's SHUDDER.com and use promo code SHAKEN to try Shudder for free for 30 days.
Well, let's get into Britney versus Spears because there's kind of a lot to discuss here. So basically, this starts off, I actually love the title of it, Britney versus Spears.
Me too, because
like that's
it.
Really what it is. Britney feels like this separate entity even from the rest of her family.
Yes. Brilliant title.
And you know, it kind of opens up with everyone just screaming at Britney, and it sort of reminded me of like Beatlemania. I mean, I know there's a lot of you know, maybe older people out there who might not appreciate that analogy, but like Britney is a phenomenon in a lot of ways, and just like screaming girls all the way. It just reminded me of Beatlemania. And like what always has shocked me, and I feel this way about a lot of pop stars, specifically Pink, but like imagine dancing, imagine singing as well as Britney does while also doing all this choreography. Like how fucking difficult is that?
I agree, and I think the opening montage of this specific documentary, as you said, there have been a few. We're talking about Britney versus Spears on Netflix today. I just remember, like, it kind of flashed me back because they even have a little like CD player that said "Girl Power" on it, which was an homage to the Spice Girls, by the way.
Of course.
You know, it really did throw me back, and it. You know, we get caught up in what Britney Spears is doing currently, like whether it's the conservatorship or her like latest album or whatever she's posting on social media. But I kind of forgot, like, she was huge.
I mean, she
in
still
her prime.
Is. And yeah, she is still huge. So, I mean, Britney is just this massive person. And basically, these two people, Jenny and Aaron, were going back to the fall of 2019, kind of before the world went to hell. And Jenny and Aaron wanted to create a documentary on Britney Spears and her career. Now, obviously, I feel like a lot of people, you know, like, this seems like a daunting task to me, only because, like, you know, but we kind of find out that Jenny does, like, a form of gonzo journalism with Britney in a lot of ways, and we're going to get into that. But, like, let me just tell you this. These opening scenes of, like, seeing Britney CDs, like, I fucking miss boomboxes and CD players, and I had every Britney CD, and when she's, like, lying, you know, sitting with her knees on the floor looking innocent. You know, like,
she's just not that innocent.
You know, and I will say, and I'm very happy that like Spotify and those things exist, right? But like the cover art of the CD cannot be matched in Spotify, like electronic form. It
well,
just can't.
There's something, and I think this is why people love vinyl so much, you know, like they can hold the actual physical copy of something that makes them feel good or takes them on an emotional journey. And that is true. I mean, I think that's why, I don't know if you've noticed, but so many current artists offer merchandise that's like vinyl and cassettes even. And I think it really is because people do want to be able to like touch and frankly, you know, decorate your room or your office with some of this swag. So I totally feel you. I agree. I'm all for that.
And let me just give you guys some stats here, because this is, we're going to go kind of by the year here, because 2007 is really where this kind of thing goes off the rails. But in her early days, like when she was first coming out with CDs, when we were young, from about 1998 to 2003. So this is, you know, like 25 years ago, $73 million in worldwide record sales from Britney. Okay. She's a cash cow. Like this.
That's a big number for that time frame too, by the way.
I mean, massive. Even now, it's huge. And that's big. And, you know, we all remember K-Fed and Britney. You know, they're married for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so
they have two kids, by the
way. And
I
honestly think that because of her children with K-Fed, probably made her think this is where she probably was going through the emotional turmoil, if you say. Because obviously, like, I think first and foremost about Britney, one thing I think we learned from this doc and just watching her over the years is that, like, yes, she's an entertainer, but she's a mom first. Like, she cares more about her kids than I can even possibly imagine.
And you're hitting the nail on the head, which is the through line for me about her career and her life, which is that at the end of the day, she's just trying to have a normal life. There are so many comparisons I think of with Britney Spears and Michael Jackson. Now, listen, Michael Jackson and his allegations of child pedophilia, all that stuff aside, When you look at his life and his
famous from a young age.
Yeah, it's famous from a young age. Has never had, you know, Britney never went to prom, as far as I know. She never, you know, had a lot of those.
Like, the Mickey Mouse Club or whatever. Right. When she was a kid. It's, you don't have a normal life. Not that it's a bad life. It's just not a quote unquote normal childhood.
Right. And when society is formed around those hallmarks and milestones, and then you live this life without all of them, you're going to naturally feel weird. So my thought is that I think that you're exactly right in that what happened was she was trying to have a normal, stable life with her husband at the time, Kevin Federline, and her two kids, and that spiraled out of control. And before you knew it, she's upset about that part of her life now. So we're going to get into everything, but it's just, I agree with you wholeheartedly about that.
Well, so they're only married for 2 years. So let's fast forward to 2007. And basically we hear from Adnan Galib, and he's the paparazzi that I guess it's kind of
it's unclear.
If they dated, I either black this out or he kind of, it's clear from the documentary that at least Britney gravitates towards him because he's a protector of him. Like, he definitely, I think Britney needs people in her corner, and she seems like a sweetest pie person. And Adnan, he kind of is featured throughout this whole thing, and he's kind of giving this first-hand account of protecting her. But October 26, 2007, there's a custody hearing, Spears versus Federline. And I remember reading headlines about this custody hearing, and I think this is kind of where the media, and this is a shitty fault on the media, but they do it all the time. The media starts to focus, I think, less on her, like, musical prowess and more on, like, the shittiness of her personal life.
And you're so right. I mean, well, first of all, real quick about Adnan Galib is there were photos of them holding hands, I think. So, okay, maybe that, I don't know if that means they're dating. You're right. The documentary doesn't make that super clear. And I don't know. I'm sure there's a Britney fan listening that could clear that up. But nonetheless, about the media, it's like, I remember thinking, like, I was just telling a friend about this after I watched the documentary, which was that, listen, we were only hearing about these stories through the same media outlets that were painting a picture of her like she was this terrible person. And, like, you know, I was thinking about PerezHilton.com.
Oh, my God. And he had to backtrack a bunch of that shit.
Yes.
He contributed it to with this shit.
I was just going to say, he, you know, we'll get into Sam Lufty.
He outed people. He fucking outed people.
Yes. Well, yeah, he would definitely out people. But especially around the Britney stuff, he was terrible towards her. Or rather, I should say this website was terrible towards her. Whether it was actually him, who knows. But especially about, like, Adnan Galib. And then we'll get to Sam Lufty in a minute. And I remember Perez Hilton painted Sam Lufty. Is it Lufty or Lufty?
It's Lutfi.
Lutfi, that's what I thought. as this quote-unquote terrorist. In fact, he called him Osama, like he was this terrorist in Britney's life.
Everyone did, because I think everyone was looking at the family. And, you know, so Sam Lutfi, for those who don't know, is Britney Spears' kind of former manager. Britney did testify that he was a friend sometimes.
That's right.
But eventually he's kind of calling the shots. And I think now when we look back, at the time, I think people thought it was Sam controlling Britney and doing these things.
But
I think now looking back, and there's been a ton of Instagrams about this with the Free Britney movement, I think he was actually the one really protecting her. And I think he was the one who was like, this poor girl. And, you know, to be fair, like, the media is the one that, like, is just eating away at these stars, whether it's Perez Hilton or TMZ. But it made me kind of question, like, during this whole thing, you know, after the whole Free Britney thing came out in February on the Hulu doc, like, everyone just kept saying, like, I'm sorry, Britney. And I do think that there's, like, there needs to be accountability on the public's part for consuming this shit.
I agree.
You know, because, like, these paparazzis are getting paid in the six figures for a photo, sometimes seven figures for a photo if you haven't seen someone. And the reason that they're getting paid that much is because we're consuming that product like we can't help ourselves, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So I think it's a little, And so I think it's a little bit on the public's responsibility here to be like, hey, this poor fucking girl, let's leave us alone. But
well, that is exactly everything you're saying, I think, is exactly how the Free Britney movement manifested out of that. Because now, especially with social media and the way people can broadcast, even compared to 2007 when this was happening, you know, there weren't nearly as many of many ways to broadcast yourself back then as there are now. Now people are starting to hold a lot of these places, and specifically the people in Britney's life, more accountable. So I completely agree with you there as well. I think now we do have the resources to kind of do that as a fan base. And we'll get into how the fans play into that, by the way.
Yeah, well. I think sometimes there's a learning curve, I hope. I mean, the truth of the matter is like, this still happens to this day. I mean, I just see, like, and we'll get into it, NMR, but, like, even Adele is back, and all these women are just, like, hating on her for her body appearance, and it's like, we haven't learned anything from this. But basically, 2008 is kind of where things get a little hectic, and in January, police are called to Britney's residence because she refuses to turn over the children to Kevin Federline at the time, which she was court-ordered to do, and you know, there's these basically these fucking ambulance chasers that are just like waiting outside and just trying to ruin her.
I mean, by the way, I loved this part of the documentary because through all those montages, you didn't hear anything. You heard a little bit of music, but you just watched these images of literally hundreds of paparazzi helicopters with spotlights outside of her
house. Right, I mean, if there was drones back then, could you imagine?
Oh my God. People jumping onto the back of the ambulances, as you were saying, and all you see is this absolute chaos about something that if it were any other person. Like, okay, imagine this happened to you, Darren. Say you had kids and you locked yourself in the bath, in a bedroom or something, and you just wanted more time with your kids, whatever. Do you think there would be helicopters outside spotlighting house?
That's the point of fame. So that's why I think that it's just like there's a really ugly side of it. And that's why I think that people need to be a little bit more minimal, especially when celebrities have kind of breakdowns. And we hear from Felicia Collada, and I really relate to Felicia because I am a person. I am an assistant myself. And, you know, kind of are the gatekeeper for these things. Now, it's Britney's former assistant from basically 1998 to 2016, although notably not from 2007 to 2008. And I'm not really sure why, but she's kind of still like, she's still in the ether, so she can comment on this, even though she's not the assistant at the time. And, you know, the documentarians are asking Felicia these questions, and she abruptly says, like, she doesn't want to talk about her dad. She's like, I'm not going to talk about Jamie. He wasn't really around. It was just basically the mom that was a very central figure in her life right now. And this is where the family starts to get involved, or we hear about the family getting in. It's not just Britney now. It's the Spears' clan. And we hear about this woman, Louise Taylor, who everyone calls Lou. So we're just going to say Lou Taylor.
Oh, one thing before you go on. I did want to ask you, what were your thoughts about the assistant, Felicia, like not speaking about things like that? Because I'm sure you've been put in positions yourself where people ask you about Andy and probably some of his personal life or even his past, and you have to find your own way to handle that, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is like you get in trouble for things that you say versus things that you don't say. And I think right. for Felicia, I think she's probably right that Jamie wasn't around at this time. And right. so, you know, he's like a chef or something. I think that's what he does.
That's right,
and so
yeah.
it's possible she just didn't want to misspeak. Also, there's so much legality going on, especially when sure. this was shot, that like I kind of understand there's things that she can't say. And we hear about, all of a sudden we see that the Spears' family yeah. Has sort of hired, so this is kind of everyone else outside of Britney hired this family spokesperson, if you will, this woman named Lou Taylor. And
right.
Felicia basically says she's not going to even touch talking about Lou Taylor. And I can tell that it's a very, we don't know why yet, but I can tell this is an extremely yeah. hot button issue and Felicia doesn't like
well,
her.
And Felicia even is like, by the way, she'll just chew me up and spit me out. I'm not talking. And I just love that she was that smart. You know, she's like, you know, it's like some people.
Sometimes you got to know your audience.
You just kind of had to know. Yeah. You kind of got to know what's going on here. And I yeah. appreciated that she was aware of that.
Well, so February 1st, 2008, the court places Britney under a temporary conservatorship. And the conservatorship essentially has all these rules. And one of these rules is that when Britney goes on all these interviews, you know, she's interviewing for Rolling Stone, Vogue, whatever, mm-hmm. that reporters have to submit questions ahead of time, essentially for the conservatorship to agree that Britney can go do this. Okay, so this is kind sure. of this other, it's indicative of a larger control, I would
it
say.
It is, but I think also you do have to think like, regardless of if there's a conservatorship, like this is something that happens. And I can tell you this as a producer who's worked with a lot of talent, even Darren, I'm sure you've worked with this too. A lot of people do just want the questions ahead of time so that they can formulate the right response and make sure nothing gets off track. But when you add that layer of the conservatorship to this, it's the first step of the control. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, there is this, I found this to be kind of ironic because, you know, there's lots of kind of going around with the family, but somehow the family really trusts Lou Taylor, mm-hmm. that is, and kind of makes her Britney's manager, and they trust her just because she's a Christian, which I find to be yeah. fucking hilarious for obvious reasons. But
yeah.
so it In the basically the paperwork of the conservatorship, the documentarians are kind of yep. reading this, and it says that it involves dementia placement. So it essentially says that
yeah.
Britney is kind of compared to having dementia, which is odd because not only is she young, she seems to be completely with it. She's creating dance routines. She's dancing. She's singing. She's an entertainer.
Right.
She's earning, you know, $60 million a year. This is not, and dementia tends to be with older people.
Well,
so this is a weird clause in there.
Absolutely. Very weird. And, you know, let's not forget the reason this conservatorship, you know, basically Jamie Spears is asking, you know, he wants legal conservatorship over her. And it's basically as a result of her locking herself in that bedroom to stay with her kids. Now, it would be one thing if, like, she locked herself in the room and had the kids at gunpoint, which, of course, didn't happen. But the
or threatening to kill herself, which also didn't happen.
Which also didn't happen, right. Like, those are extremes where, like, okay, somebody needs to really take control of this. You almost would be a little more sympathetic, but nothing like that happened, you know? Like, and so she loses her ability, by the way, of consent with healthcare, specifically like what drugs she may need, the right to communicate with people, the right to visit with or from anybody, and she lost the right to her estate, including all of her money. So her life now has just been handed over to her father. This was February 1st, 2008. And it was temporary at this point, but everything was now handed over to her father, and her life was now in his control.
And I think now, knowing what we know, this is, I think the family, I'm going out on a limb here, but I think the family is kind of starting to spread these rumors about people that Britney has met independently, like Sam Lufty, mm-hmm. Spreading these rumors so that the public thinks that they're bad too, and mm-hmm. kind of can side with the family. And one of these rumors that's kind of spread is that Sam, even biographers have sort of said this, that he was crushing up drugs and putting mm-hmm. it in her food. But mm-hmm. the odd thing here is, to Sam's point, who's interviewed, police never came to his door. No charges were filed. Sam obviously eventually sues for defamation, because if you're going to drug up, if you're going to be accused of drugging the most famous pop star in the world, don't you think police would come to your door? Don't you think the family would try to prove that and then charge them? But no, that never happened. And well, I think now we can see that this was just kind of a rumor.
And that was one of the moments where I thought, wow, let me take a step back myself as someone who was consuming this media, because I totally assumed, like, you know, the reports were he was this guy and he was doing this stuff. And, you know, the thing that he said in the documentary that I really appreciated, he was like, she was in a conservatorship. She was being drug tested, blood tested hundreds
every
of times.
Day. Right. They never found anything.
Nothing was ever positive. So, like,
trust
what?
Me, if you're drugging, if someone thinks you're drugging the most famous person in the world, people are going to come to action with this, and that never happened. And kind of even just furthering that, Adnan, the paparazzi, we never see him, but he's definitely kind of this voiceover guy, and he shows texts that happened between him and Britney, basically showing that Britney was complaining about her father being very overbearing. She hates her life. Mm-hmm. So this kind of starts in that. And, you know, they just show that how Britney, through all of this, even though she's dealing with all of her kids' custody, her family fucking turning against her, she is an entertaining genius and just keeps churning out tour after tour. And
album after album, absolutely.
Album after album. Yeah. And this is where the doc takes kind of a turn, because in the fall of 2020, a year ago, a source reached out to the filmmakers anonymously, basically saying that they wanted the truth to be out there. Mm-hmm. And they want, you know, parts of the conservatorship, when you get the court documents, everything's redacted and you can't really see anything. This source had the actual documents. And so while everyone's kind of claiming that Britney has dementia and she can't feed herself, you know, Britney's well enough to keep acting and creating, even though the conservatorship saying she isn't well, that she's emotionally unable to continue or handle her finances. I mean, clearly that's just not true. That's just clearly not true.
No, I mean, that is, you know, and there's a conservatorship lawyer who appears in the documentary. And, you know, it's noted over and over again that Britney has appealed this conservatorship over and over. And every single time a judge somewhere along the line says Britney is not capable of making her own, you know, thoughts about things. She cannot handle a client lawyer relationship, whatever. And at one point in this documentary, we learn that this person that was meant to represent Britney says, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to. It says, I have it written down here. Britney doesn't have the ability to retain counsel and have an attorney-client relationship. So I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to represent her, and they need you to leave the courtroom. Now, this is after, as Darren, you just said, she had pulled out multiple albums. I mean, this is like mid, I want to say 2008 at this point. Yeah. And she's now released at least two albums, has done a tour or two. It's just, all of this is just adding up. And I do want, this is a through line that I wish I had more like ability and skills to kind of like research myself. To me, it just feels like there is a scam happening, in the sense that people are getting paid off, and the documentary definitely touches on this, but I just don't know enough about it myself to really, you know, go into it. But there are too many people benefiting off of her being in this conservatorship, which
I think
is
that's why that's clearly why the family wants to keep it, because they're the ones benefiting. So September 2008 rolls around, and Britney is now 50-50 custody of her children,
that's
with K-Fed. But due to the conservatorship, Jamie, her father, because he is the temporary conservator at this point, basically decides how much time Britney gets to see her children. And this has just got to be absolute torture. And fast forward to 2009, you know, Britney, you can just tell, only cares about being a mom. She only wants to be with her kids.
Yeah, there's a moment right in this part of the documentary that really struck me, and I got very emotional, because it's like you said, she had just got custody 50-50. Her dad is doing, you know, telling her what time and when she can do things. We learn that, you know, a man named Andrew, who was like a documentarian or like a photographer or something, was part of a group of people who,
trying to help,
30 people that arranged for her to drive her car for 30 minutes. What?
Just and to feel free for a moment.
For a moment, right? And he's like, what the fuck is going on here? And in this moment, we snap back to Britney, who I guess is like on set for like a movie or a music video or like photography or something. And she talks about it, and she's just like, I'm just sad. And she tears up, and it's just, I can't imagine, because I'm not a mom and I'm not a parent, other than to, you know, to everyone listening, of course, my children. But, you know, to in the serious note, it's like, I can't imagine what it must feel like to live in this type of prison that has no walls, you know?
Absolutely. And here's where the documentarian kind of comes in. Mm-hmm. She does a little bit of gonzo journalism a la, like, you know, Hunter S. Thompson. And we're in January 21 of 2009. Essentially, Brittany wants, you know, a lawyer. She wants a new lawyer that's representing her that isn't hired by the conservatorship, because she knows that her family doesn't have her best interests. And in order for her to get a court-ordered lawyer that she thinks is right, mm-hmm. to remove her lawyer at the time, Samuel Ingham, she has to sign this paperwork. But of course, it's like impossible. I mean, the girl can't even drive her fucking car for 30 minutes. So basically, these, you know, her close friends, including this journalist who worked at Rolling Stone, who's a documentarian, Jenny, she kind of goes to the Montage Hotel where Brittany is, goes mm-hmm. into the bathroom, closes the door, gets the paperwork ready. Brittany follows her and is able to sign the deal that will hopefully remove her lawyer at the time, Samuel Ingham. Mm-hmm. But the court, this is probably through pressure through the family, court claims it's not her signature, and so nothing essentially happens with this. And Samuel Ingham is still her lawyer.
Yeah, which is insane. And by the way, this is a part in the documentary where I was like, it always feels to me like there's no way that this can be happening. Like,
I know. Well, that's what everyone says. So, like, how can the court let this happen? I mean, how can this just occur? And like, there's so much paperwork and there's so many things that it's really hard. The system isn't perfect, you know, and knowing what we know now, I think it's easy to kind of look back and be like, what the fuck? But like, the media is a machine, dude. And once you get the public kind of thinking that Britney's crazy, then it's really easy to convince anyone from outside influence that she's crazy. You know, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's shaving her head. She, you know.
And my note.
It's really sad.
My note that I have in this moment is exactly what you just said. She's a victim of this system. You know, the conservatorship lawyer who appears throughout this episode, who I don't believe was connected to Brittany, but was just lending his expertise to the documentary. He was like, I've represented dozens and dozens of conservatees. And he was like, not a single one of them ever had a job. And that, you know, this is like the very last stitch effort to save someone's life and their finances and their livelihood. And obviously she is nowhere near that level of needing help. So, you know, I just kept thinking in this moment, you know, I have a note where I'm like, this can't be happening, let alone to a huge star with like the world at her fingertips. And I always kept thinking, surely it's about to be fixed, right? Like, we're about to learn, like, okay, you know, at this point, things got better. But, like, somehow it just keeps getting worse.
Well, you know, Brittany obviously constantly talks about wanting to get out of the conservatorship, and she's vocalized this need, but it continually gets ignored. Brittany actually starts dating her agent. And I wonder, because they didn't really dive into this, like, can she date anyone she wants, or does the conservatorship have to approve? And I feel like it's more like she can date who she wants, but she has to be home by a certain time if the conservatorship wants that, or, like, she won't get to see people. And
yeah, I wondered that too.
Yeah, so her agent at the time is this guy named Jason, and Brittany and her agent Jason, they get engaged, and Jamie, her father, and Jason, her now fiance, both become co-conservators because, it's weird, but at the same time, like, of course your husband should be the one taking care of you, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, apparently, it comes out kind of in these court documents that were redacted, but that, like, this anonymous source shows to the documentarians that the family's kind of drugging Brittany. There's different doses on work days versus non-work days, and they're kind of claiming, you know, it's for her own mental health. But, you know, I kind of get, like, having a few extra cups of coffee during the day when you're working versus not working, but your medication should stay the same. And Felicia, her assistant, basically says Brittany, you know, she loves performing, but makes it clear in the doc that she can't really continue on talking about it because she doesn't want to fight with the conservatorship. Like, this is so much that she can't even be fucking interviewed for this thing.
Yeah, and by the way, this is now on to Britney's circus tour. This was like 2008, 2009, I think we're in at this point, somewhere around there. And she's continuing to make music and creating tours. And I think eventually she even says, like, she was the choreographer for all of the dancers as well. Yeah.
Right. And how could she have dementia doing that? And not only that, to give you some... to give you some kind of stats on this, Britney at the time was earning well over $50 million a year. And Jamie, her father, earned $2.1 million from tour sales as well. And he was given a $16,000 a month salary due to the conservatorship, of which he only gave Britney $8,000 a month allowance. Now, obviously, $8,000, that's great. But she's earning $50 million
of her own money. Exactly.
So it's really, it just goes, and her father gets $16,000 and she gets $8,000. I don't really know how that... and this is where the headlines come in, because eventually, you know, when Britney gets her Vegas residency, she refuses to perform unless her conservatorship ends.
This is
where I think the public starts to come in and now have kind of maybe a little bit of stake in the game, because now the public's like, well, we want Britney. You know, she's becoming this commodity at this point. So that's kind of, to me, when she refuses to perform, that's when the public gets interested in her conservatorship.
And it's so interesting, too, because around this time, the Vegas residency, maybe it was just a little bit before, around 2012, she continues to complain about her dad being in the conservatorship. She doesn't want him on it. And specifically, she starts complaining about his alcoholism and his drinking. And there's a big altercation with Jamie, one of her sons, and Kevin Federline, to the point where Jamie, the conservator, has a restraining order placed on him and one of Britney's sons, Jamie's grandson. That's how intense, by the way, this situation is getting. So tell me who should be on a conservatorship.
Well, I mean,
should it be Jamie? I think it might be.
That's right. I mean, and you know, June 23rd, just literally like 4 months ago of this year, we actually got to hear the audio of Britney Spears pleading with the court. And you know, we don't need to play that audio. If you haven't listened to it, you really should, because you get to hear Britney's like actual voice and just the desperation in her voice. And I kind of wonder, like, how could anyone listen to this woman and not want to help her or not believe her?
Well,
like,
and number one, that's absolutely true. And then number two, does that sound like someone with dementia to you, or someone who can't control their own finances or their own life?
Or raise children?
I mean, one of the things I remember when a lot of this audio came out in June, I was listening to it like everyone else was, and the thing that really just killed me was the fact that she had an IUD placed in her, but against her will, it sounds like, and she can't get it removed without her dad's approval? Like, what is this?
I mean, and this is a woman well in her 30s. I mean,
who by the way, as I said over and over again, completely mentally there, knows what's going on. And you know, Andrew, who I was saying, one of her friends in this documentary, who was that photographer, documentarian, he made such a good point as he was talking about this particular hearing, because I think he actually went to the hearing as a friend. And he said on his way there, he was like, you know, the thing that just is so confusing about this conservatorship is there's never a resolution.
Right.
It never ends. There's never a focal point of like, if Britney gets to XYZ, we'll remove the conservatorship. It's just an ongoing
And not only that, after this, after the public is even just on Britney's side, a week after we hear these hearings, a judge denied Britney's request to have Jamie removed.
Exactly. So even when she sounds amazing,
like, it's what like... else does this woman need to fucking prove? Like, to your point, it's like, to what end? Does she have to kill herself to prove that she's in the right state of mind? Like,
I thought about
what
that, Darren.
Asking.
I thought about that the whole time. I'm like, and that's what I was saying when I made that note earlier. I'm like, there's no end to this. There's no, like, how is this happening in broad daylight, you know?
Right. And I think the public here has helped a little bit.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, in terms of, like, just the shame of the family. Because in July, Larry Rudolph finally resigned as Britney's manager, right? So, like, that was a positive.
Who, by the way, listen, he's her manager. So any of the money that has been negotiated and agreed to that she makes from working that is owed to him makes total sense. However, he is still a beneficiary of the conservatorship one way or another, you know?
Exactly. And finally, Samuel Ingham, her lawyer that she wanted to get rid of, that the journalist was like gonzo journaling, you know, trying to get her Gonna get fired. Sam Ingham finally resigns July 6th of this year, which is
amazing. And by the way, those two things are huge. These two people have been in her life since the very beginning of their careers. But well, Larry Rudolph with her career, but then Ingham in her conservatorship. That to me, when I saw that Ingham and Larry Rudolph resigned, I was like, "Uh-oh, they know they're not going to get away with this anymore," you know. And to me, it was a sign of really good things to come for Britney, and we're I think about to get into some of that. But I saw that as a good thing for sure.
Me too. And she finally gets the lawyer she wants. This guy named Matthew Rosengart becomes mm-hmm. Britney's new attorney and immediately files to remove Jamie as the conservator. And that was in mid-July, around July 14th.
That's
now,
right.
Fast forward a couple weeks ago, literally a month ago on September 7th, mm-hmm. Jamie formally asked to be removed from his role as conservator and recommended it to be terminated. The court obviously decides whether that will happen for sure. Mm-hmm. And one could argue that, you know, why now? And I think a lot of the public pressure had to do with that, you know, because he had no incentive to do it before. So I feel like the public's pressuring of this and kind of, you know, I always say the best disinfectant is sunlight. When all of this comes to light, this guy's not going to have a life anymore. You know, no one wants to be associated with this fucking guy.
By the way, we should mention, though, the best disinfectant is sunlight, but we don't want to put that in our blood or bleach or anything like that for the coat. You know what I mean? There's a lot of speculation out there.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Okay, yeah.
But
I will say, yes, I think it is 100%. Well, maybe not 100%. It is a large part of the fans being like, you finally, you know, you're getting what's coming. But also Matthew Rosengart being a huge proponent of getting rid of Jamie is a big part of this too, because remember, Jamie and Ingham have been, you know, I don't know what the right legal term is, but they were both benefiting from this conservatorship, and now Ingham's gone and Matthew Rosengart is like, this isn't going to happen. In fact, he even, there's a quote from one of the, I don't know where this statement is from, but he says, Jamie's abuses revealed in this film, which we were just talking about today, corroborate what Britney and I have said in court. Jamie Spears is toxic to the well-being of Britney, and she deserves to be free. I don't think the word toxic there was used coincidentally, it being one of her biggest songs.
No,
of her
but
career.
I think it's also very showing of how he really is, just like,
yeah.
How he's just like killing her in a lot of ways. And at the end of September, just a few weeks ago, the judge suspended Jamie from the conservatorship and installed a temporary replacement for just her finances.
Which is great. Yeah.
That was a big win, you know? And you actually wrote, according to CNN, Rosengart said the singer, who did not attend Wednesday's hearing, would like an orderly transition and an opportunity to put a plan in place to terminate her conservatorship altogether in the next 30 to 45 days.
Yes. Which is like, that was the biggest... Aside from the judge basically saying, like, you know, this is ending, this is, like, basically best case scenario. And, in fact, the judge set a court date to consider her request on November 12th.
Coming up,
and an additional hearing is scheduled for December 13th to address any of the other outstanding matters in this case. So, you know, look, Darren, you wrote it perfectly in our agenda. Go ahead and tell everybody what you wrote.
Free fucking Britney, dude. I mean, free. But you also wrote the fans did this. And I think, obviously, like, I think the fans caused it and did it at the same time, right?
Because for sure.
We fed into it, too.
Yeah,
and so
you're right.
I think it's, like, kind of a weird argument to make. But I do think the fans now, because of social media and the power of social media and how information can spread mm-hmm. and how she was able to still have a voice in all of this, I do think the fans played a huge part in freeing her, especially this past year, or in the process of freeing her, I'd rather say.
I completely agree, and so much so that just a couple days ago on October 4th, Britney actually tweeted this. She said, quote, hashtag free Britney movement, which, by the way, I don't know that she has ever tweeted before, you know, like, but, and I don't know that she even had control over her social media. I mean, there's a whole theory about that.
Yeah, there's a whole theory. And she went down on Instagram. There's this whole theory and speculation about her Insta, at least.
Yeah, and her tweet was, hashtag free Britney movement. I have no words. Because of you guys and your constant resilience and freeing me from my conservatorship, my life is now in that direction. I cried last night for 2 hours because my fans are the best and I know it. I feel your hearts and you feel mine. That much I know is true. And then she had a couple of, like, heart emojis in there. And it's just so nice to, I mean, even the word conservatorship, like, she never really talked about things like this so publicly.
She probably couldn't, too.
Yeah, she probably couldn't. So I feel like this was the first, you know, I almost wonder if, like, she got her account back into her own arms or right. hands and then was like, by the way, here's my first tweet as, like, a free woman.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, I never say this, but God bless. I've always loved Britney, and she's kind of one of those pop stars that I just think is good to her fans. I feel that way about Katy Perry. I feel that way about Pink.
Gaga, yeah, there's
like,
tons of them.
Yeah, yeah, just like, the only thing I don't like about Gaga is that she's late to shows, even though she's it's like, why are you
But other than
like,
that,
she
loves her fans, Darren.
No,
like,
I know her
deny.
Little monsters. I just like, you know, it's like when Madonna's 9 hours late. It's like, sweetie,
Madonna's
like,
one thing.
Like,
yeah.
like we're moving on. But no, free fucking Britney. I highly recommend yes. all of you guys to kind of watch Britney versus Spears if you haven't already. Even if you're not interested in Britney Spears in and of itself, I think it just kind of goes to show, at least, if anything, outside of all this, that it's really, you should not believe everything that you hear through the
so
media.
True. Yeah.
And I think that it that's important for everything happening right now, whether it's the COVID-19
sure.
vaccine or Facebook shutting down. Like, I think that people
Or Zodiac
are,
Killer, by the way.
I think people rely too much on other people to be truthful and honest to them, and therefore they mm-hmm. just take it as fact. And I think it should be our due diligence as citizens
I was just
to kind of
say,
like be
yes.
better than that.
And
that's what
way,
I've learned from this doc.
And sorry to interrupt you, yes, I completely agree. And it's not about, you know, I think for me, it's just like, understand the reality that even if it seems super duper true, it's okay to realize and accept that you may not know the full story. This is what we know, you know, presented to us in a documentary, and this is what we know that PerezHilton.com posted back in the day. We don't know the nuances and the ins and outs of Britney Spears' everyday life or anyone else's life. So,
or any other celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah. So accept that and be aware that, like, you know, unless you have backed up sources and you have proof of things, and this is the application to true crime here, you know, you're not going to know every single answer to every single thing, you know?
And I think it also goes to show that a lot of people, and, you know, we're victims of this too. I think a lot of people view celebrities not as real people, as sort of commodities, and they're real people with real children, and, you know, they deserve just as much scrutiny as everyone else, for sure. But I think they also deserve just as much grace as you
for
would
sure.
give
yeah.
your friend. And so with that, thank you guys so much for listening. But we're gonna end even more positively than the conservatorship. Let's get to listener shout-outs. Go for it, John.
Yes. Well, Caitlin in our Facebook group, Darren, has my back. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I am not able to find this apple pie
Lord
Bailey's. I don't know where it is. I actually looked again this week, and I'm not finding it. But you know what? I'm still going to look. But she says, quote, listening to the episode where Mom mentions the lack of apple pie Bailey's, but let me tell y'all, this knockoff from Aldi is just as good, if not better, and I'm tickled that I'm here to restock my supply while I'm listening. She posted a picture of it, so I'm assuming she literally took a picture and jumped on Facebook and posted this. She said, she tagged me in it saying, John Thrasher, I know there are Aldi in America and Maryland, so you've got to get some of this. I will say, Darren, I live 2 minutes away from an Aldi, so I am going to check it maybe tonight after we record to
okay,
see if
good.
We can
so
find it.
So next week, we're going to need a report back.
I will. I'll have a report, yes.
The Facebook outage, obviously, earlier this week meant we couldn't communicate with our lovely, beautiful children, which was very scary. Luckily, we checked in with some of you, and you let us know you were okay. Melissa said, it was tough. Love you, Mom and Dad. Stop worrying about us. Jessica said, it was an okay day. I talked to my husband. He seems nice, which was the best one. This is the best one, Jessica. Audie said, I talked to my coworkers today. Boy, they are annoying, which was also good. And Catherine said, I think what we're all thinking, lots of sussy things afoot.
That's right. Sussy things afoot with Facebook yes. going down. I agree.
So true.
Thank you guys for messaging us. Yes, we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Obviously, let's do our 1, 2, 3.
One, two, three.
Thanks, Megan. And obviously to all of you guys out there, please rate, review, subscribe. Those really help us.
That's right.
And we really appreciate all your Patreon support. And we're going to be back next week with another truly shaken and disturbing case. I promise you that.
You might say that we'll be back to hit you one more time with another episode.
Oh.
We'll hit you babies one more time.
Because guess what,
week.
People? We're a slave for you.
We're a slave for you in terms of podcasting, absolutely.
Right. You're not a womanizer, though, John, but this is a circus that we're running into. I mean, this could just go on all day, guys. This could just go on all day.
We're going to do it again next week.
We want you to be saying, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more. So that's what we're going to leave you with. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys next time. Free Britney. Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.